Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
On May 21, 2011, when the rapture occurs, that's 5 times 10 times 17. Wow, that just fits perfectly.
With camping, it's very hard to get seriously because, to be perfectly blunt, there's a kook element involved.
I don't expect everyone to understand this, but I'm a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. And that relationship is far more important to me than any political office.
Without these bold men who were not pastors confessing the faith, who knows where we would be today?
I'm Derek, the tea guy from Seward, Nebraska, who drives his truck through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and I rock Issues Etc. the whole way.
Whether it's the criminal, as appears to be the case in Dominique Strauss-Kahn's crimes of rape, the IMF chief put in prison, facing bail, and not going to be president of France anytime soon, or the merely wrong Arnold Schwarzenegger sleeping with a household employee, having a child out of wedlock, keeping it hidden from his longtime wife. Of course, there's former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, who had his own adulterous affairs and multiple marriages. What do we do? There seems to be a thread. What do we do with men whose character in that respect of their lives seems to be deeply flawed? And they ask us, whether it's the American public or the French public, to trust them to be our leaders. Are the two connected, political candidacy and personal character? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday. It's May the 19th. Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us for the first few minutes to talk about political candidates and personal character. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, we'll take up the claim of Harold Camping that is either going to be right or it's going to be wrong, but it's probably wrong, claiming that the rapture will occur 2 days from today. Gretchen Passantino of Answers in Action will join us for the better part of this hour of Issues Etc. You can join us 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @IssuesETC. Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. You've been writing and thinking about the recent scandals both here and in France with prominent politicians, former politicians, up to and including Newt Gingrich's scandals, which are a little old, but he's actually running for president again. You say there's a problem when we confuse a person's worthiness for forgiveness with their worthiness to hold public office. What do you mean?
Well, I think there's been kind of a trope trotted out by a lot of these candidates, and we've heard it from Gingrich as well, especially lately as after he announced his candidacy. Basically, the idea is that their candidacies are sort of tests for the voters. And if you accept me and reelect me, even after I've had XYZ scandal, and usually we're speaking of extramarital affairs, in some cases sexual harassment accusations, that was certainly the case with Bill Clinton, if you reelect me, you're showing that you understand the power of forgiveness and how magnanimous you are, and you're giving me a second chance. And hey, doesn't everyone deserve a second chance? And this, I think, is very confusing for American voters. Most of us are Christian, whether serious Christians or more nominally, but we do believe in the power of forgiveness. Everyone wants a second chance. Everyone's made mistakes. So it's a powerful argument. The problem with it is that it confuses a person's worthiness for forgiveness with his fitness for public office. To hold public office is, as we know, it's a privilege. It's not a right. And it's not something to which everyone is either entitled or suitable for. And if you're someone who struggles with the abuse of power or with sexual discipline when given too much power or when in office, or at least that's your track record, I think voters have every right to say, we're not giving you another shot, and it's not because we don't forgive you. It's because you've proven that this is not a role that you're particularly suited to.
What should we learn from, and it really runs the gamut from kind of old infidelity in the case of former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and Newt Gingrich, candidate for the presidency, and current criminal acts on the part of Dominique Strauss-Kahn. What should we learn?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. One is that we can and should look at a candidate's track record when it comes to his marriage. Now, I'm not talking about peeping into his personal problems, but if he has a track record of being unable to hold to his wedding vows, in the case of Strauss-Kahn, he's on marriage number three, so is Newt Gingrich. I believe Giuliani's in the same boat, and several others who have been candidates for the presidency or hope to be in the future. Strauss-Kahn was a front runner in France to challenge Sarkozy. He not only was thrice married, but he had a track record of coming on very strong with women, and there were a lot of rumors flying around France for years about the fact that he was someone you don't want to interview alone if you're a woman journalist. Now, obviously, criminal behavior is different from adultery. They're both wrong, but certainly forcing yourself on a woman goes to a whole new level. You know, there were signs of this, but the French have this strict policy of laissez-faire when it comes to the private lives of their politicians, and many French journalists have started to speak up in the wake of this incident. He's now accused of raping a maid in New York. When he was in New York on his way back to Paris, he got rounded up on the plane and is now in jail. Some are saying, you know, maybe we need to rethink that policy. Maybe what someone does in their private life does affect their character and what kind of leader they can be.
How do you explain, as you say, kind of the yawns and the shrugs when it came to the recent disclosure from former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger about his affair with an House employee?
Well, I think there were a couple of things going on there. One was that he's already got this track record of sexual harassment allegations. When he ran in 2003, some 16 women came forward and said, this man groped me or chased me around or did something sexually provocative to me that I didn't ask for and didn't want. So I think voters knew this was kind of what this man was like, and he won in a landslide anyway. Similar accusations, I believe, came out the second time he ran, and again, another landslide win. So California voters said, you know, we don't really care what he does sexually or in his private life. It's not important. So I think that's why there hasn't been a lot of shock with this new revelation. But again, I think it does go to the character of the man, and I think voters have a right and actually a duty to look at the character of the men they're electing. I mean, for me, it's just simple. If you can't keep your marriage vows, why would you keep a promise to me, a faceless voter you've vowed to serve, when there's so many inducements to break that promise and to serve yourself in public office?
How do you respond to someone, Colleen, who says, look, if we make that the criteria here, even if we're kind of lax about it, we're not going to find anybody qualified?
Well, I think that's pretty sad. I mean, number one, I think it's untrue. I do think politicians tend to be prone to these sort of things, maybe more than the average guy, partly maybe because they can get away with it, partly because you may be drawn to politics if you have a large ego and some lack of maybe boundaries. But I don't think it's true that there's no one that fits this. And I think, frankly, if we have to make our criteria a little stiffer, I think that might be a good thing. We haven't been too pleased with a lot of the people we've been putting into office in the last few years, so I don't think raising our standards a bit would be a bad thing. And again, I think this idea where we compartmentalize and say, yeah, he's a terrible husband and father, but gosh, I bet he's going to do a great job with the budget. I bet he's going to be terrifically honest when he's, you know, controlling the people's money. I think we're fooling ourselves.
How would you respond to somebody who says, look, what we are is simply a too puritanical of a society. The French handle this better. Granted, even they are shocked at rape allegations against one of their rising stars in politics. But generally speaking, when it's just their sexual dalliances, we'd do better to adopt their standard.
Well, I think, again, this is something the French are rethinking, some French. In fact, the Italians are also rethinking it with Berlusconi, who's had these sexual escapades for years, and Italian women in 200 cities in February came out to protest against him, saying, you know, we've had enough of this as voters and as women. This is embarrassing to our country, and you're not the kind of leader we want. So I think the idea that Europeans are happy with their standard may be something that's beginning to change. But regardless, you know, marriage is in trouble in this country, and the American family is in trouble. So I think the last thing we need to do is continue to raise up leaders who flout the very standards we say we embrace. Again, I think it's a good thing if we have high standards, and it's a good thing if men and women who go into politics know that I have to be honest and live with integrity in my private life as well as my public if I want the trust of my constituents. And if I blow that trust, I may be entitled to God's forgiveness, even my spouse's forgiveness, but the voters don't have to reelect me, and there's nothing sanctimonious or unforgiving about them if they choose to use their intelligence and discretion and say, hey, buddy, you don't belong in office anymore.
Colleen Carol Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture. She's author of the book, The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and you can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
All right, when we come back on this Thursday afternoon, he's made his claims, he's made his predictions. A lot of people believe him. Remarkably, a lot of people believe him. I wonder why. He has done the math, he says. It's some rather complex calculations. No calculus, just a lot of multiplication and square roots, but he says he has it down to the day. From the time of Christ's death to the time of Christ's return, which is inaugurated with a secret rapture, well, it's not secret anymore. He says we should have known it all along. It was always in the Bible. Anyone could have sat down, had they had enough information, done the math, and figured out that the rapture was going to occur May 21st, 2011. Now, that's only 2 days away. Harold Camping has made these predictions. We'll see how he came to these conclusions and whether or not they hold any water. Gretchen Passantino of Answers in Action will be with us right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.